question was asked, before going into business or before getting engaged with someone, should one look into the person and pursue Lashon Hara? That was the question. So we have to know that in the laws of Lashon Hara, one of the things we will learn is that there is something called litoelet, when the information is of importance to the person receiving the information. Then we have many criteria which we will learn Be'ezrat Hashem, but there are instances where it is permissible and even obligatory to give over the information. When I was teaching in elementary school, we had a student who was caught numerous times shoplifting. And then, on one occasion, a store owner called me up and asked me if I would recommend hiring him. So I had to tell him that I don't think I would put him behind the cash register, because in the past few months I've had phone calls from different store owners that he was caught shoplifting. So the kid was just bar mitzvah. He was 13 years old. Obviously he had a certain problem. And it's not right of me. I was his teacher and I had this information. I had no right to let the person fall. So this person calls me up and asks me for a recommendation. I have to give him the honest truth. That maybe he'll be very good at setting the shelves and maybe he'll be good at other things, but my information is that this is what I've heard about him. So what sometimes, we can't turn a blind eye and let someone else fall. Now that doesn't mean that I have to be the world's policeman. Let me call every person who might be hiring this guy and inform them. No. But I do have certain responsibilities. And because of that, it goes the other way too. When a person's going to date someone, or a person's going to marry someone, or a person's going to take a business partner, then the expectation is that he'll do due diligence and verify and find out. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the assumption that Halacha assumes. In the days of the Talmud, so the Talmud worded it that the assumption is that you'll check with the women of the local bathhouse. If she has blemishes, a woman's going to be modest. She's going to wear a skirt, everything that comes down to her knuckles and down to her ankles. And you have no way of knowing. Maybe she's covered with boils, right? So you don't know. Everything's covered. All you see is one eye peeping through the burqa. So you don't know what's behind all that. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But in the days of Chazal, they were dressed this way. You see from the Mishnah in Tractate Shabbos that many women in Persia and Mede, they wrap themselves like the Persian and Mede women. So the Talmud says the assumption is there's a local bathhouse. All the women would shower and bathe together. They had one bathhouse. That was it. You had nowhere else to clean yourself. So that was common practice. So then the women in the bathhouse know which woman has boils and which woman has what. So you should check it out. The Gemara's assumption is you're going to find out. You want to make sure that maybe she's missing a leg. The Talmud said when Eliezer engaged Rebekah on behalf of Isaac, it says he had no way of knowing if she was missing a leg. It says he couldn't have known. It tells us about her modesty. But the Talmud says he lucked out because it could have been she was even blind. I guess there were a throng of girls coming out to the well, and maybe she was very talented. What?
How could you do any of the things that she had to do in that story?
Maybe she was talented. Maybe she was missing only part of her leg. Maybe she, the Talmud says she might have even been blind. That Eliezer's interaction with her was so minimal before he was ready to engage her that he couldn't have known if she was blind.
Did she water all the camels?
Okay, she was talented. I'm saying, no one's saying, the Talmud's just pointing out that he lucked out. That Eliezer really was fortunate. But it tells us something about her modesty. He wouldn't have known if she had a wooden leg. It tells us something about her talent. It tells us something about the blind people in those days, how much they could get done, as we find in the Shas. It tells us a lot about society, just that line in Talmud. But at the end of the day, the Talmud's assumption is you don't do that. That's what the Talmud's telling you, that Eliezer was very lucky that it worked out right. And ordinarily, you don't assume you're going to be so lucky, because we have other stories that didn't end up so well. So you should find out, can she really see behind the burqa, right? You guys are laughing, but a girl once told me that she went on a date, and it seemed funny. She came to the date, and the guy was sitting on the sofa waiting for her. And she left the date, and he stayed on the sofa. And something seemed strange to her, and she decided she's going to stick around. And she waited to see, and after she left, the helper came with a wheelchair and Oh. Okay, I'm not saying the guy did wrong. Maybe he would have told her after two or three dates. Maybe he felt like... I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, you see, I heard this live. So you see what the Talmud says, that someone can be playing a game, is something that that really
but
can be.
Every person has their limitations. Every person has their limitations. Fine. So it's maybe wrong to judge if a woman is not perfectly able to walk. It doesn't say she can be a good mother for your children.
I didn't say
so
that.
Would it be a criteria to reject a woman because she missed parts of her leg?
No one said that's a reason to reject a person. You have to decide what, yeah, each person is entitled to make their decision, yeah.